Shining City Audio, a John Meacham and C-13 original studio. On June 7, 1892, in New Orleans, Louisiana, Homer Plessy is arrested for violating the Louisiana Separate Car Act. I'm John Meacham, and this is Reflections of History.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The moment led to one of the most infamous decisions in the history of the United States Supreme Court. The case, Plessy versus Ferguson, is one of those touchstones in the public memory. Many Americans know the decision, which held that separate but equal was constitutional. But the human drama behind the formal styling is largely lost. A mixed-race American, Homer Plessy rose to challenge the Jim Crow-era law segregating public transportation according to color. It was an arena of emerging conflict in American life. By the 1890s and into the first years of the 20th century, segregation laws were prevalent in the South, and the North had its own pattern of de jure and de facto segregation. In cooperation with the Committee of Citizens in New Orleans, Plessy agreed to purchase a ticket and take a seat in the whites-only car of a train. Born in March 1863, within months of the Emancipation Proclamation, Plessy was a shoemaker and a civil rights activist. His ancestors included Creole Americans who had left Haiti during the late 18th century rebellion of the enslaved in what was then a colony of France. As the 19th century drew to a close, the verdict of the Civil War and of the Reconstruction era amendments on equality was under assault by the forces of white supremacy. The Louisiana Separate Car Act was part of that racist reaction. Arrested for refusing to sit in a segregated compartment, Plessy initiated the case that would bear his name. The other party, Judge John Howard Ferguson, declined to hold a trial and simply asserted the constitutionality of the Separate Car Act. 2 years later, in the U.S. Supreme Court, all the justices save one upheld Ferguson's decision. In dissent, Justice John Marshall Harlan articulated a forward-leaning view. He wrote this: "The white race deems itself to be the dominant race in this country, and so it is in prestige and achievements and education and wealth and in power. But in the view of the Constitution, in the eye of the law, there is in this country no superior, dominant, ruling class of citizens. There is no caste here. Our Constitution is colorblind and neither knows nor tolerates classes among citizens. In respect of civil rights, all citizens are equal before the law. The humblest is the peer of the most powerful." However eloquent, Harlan was speaking against the overwhelming opinion of the time. Whites reigned supreme. Within about three decades of Robert E. Lee's surrender, angry and alienated Southern whites who had lost a war had successfully used terror and political inflexibility, a refusal to concede that the Civil War had altered the essential status of black people, to recreate the antebellum world of American apartheid. Many white Americans had feared a post-slavery society in which emancipation might lead to equality. And in reaction, they successfully ensured that no such thing should come to pass, North or South. Lynchings, church bombings, and the denial of access to equal education and to the ballot box were the order of the decades. "We fought," a Confederate veteran from Georgia remarked in 1890, "for the supremacy of the white race in America. That was a war they tragically won, and in a Central American irony, They did so not alone, but with the aid and comfort of many of their former foes on the field of battle. Yet because of the courage of people like Homer Plessy, the race's victory could not be permanent. Thank you for listening to Reflections of History, a creation of Shining City Audio, a C13 Originals and John Meacham studio. Reflections of History is executive produced by me, John Meacham, and Chris Corcoran, Chief Content Officer and founding partner of Cadence 13. Production and editing led by Lloyd Lockridge and Chris Basil. Production assistance and operations by Paige Heimson, Andy Jaskowitz, Adam Macias, and Kelly Rafferty. Research assistance by Sarah Jean Caver. Cadence 13 is an Odyssey company.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.